The following recording is copyright 2013, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
You know, God is all good, all knowing, all loving, all powerful, and God only wants what is best for us. So why does he allow us to be harmed? Why does he allow us to be harmed by our own sins? Why does he allow us to be harmed by the sins of other people? Since God is all-knowing and he's all-powerful, he can do anything. So why doesn't he prevent hurtful things from happening? One answer is that God created us in his own image and likeness, meaning that he created us with free will. But since we have this free will, without us also being all good, all loving, all knowing, all powerful, which are all traits only of God, we, like Adam and Eve, are susceptible to misusing that free will. And you know, God knew this was going to happen. So he devised a remedy to set us free from the results of our predictable misuse of this free will, while still leaving the exercise of that free will intact. And his amazing plan takes into account the billions upon billions upon billions of free choices made by billions of people over the course of thousands of years in the past, present, and the future. What plan for our salvation could possibly take into account this practically infinite number of variables? Wait, no blueprint that any of us could ever devise. But since God is all-knowing, these variables are not unpredictable to him. He knows in advance every decision we will ever make. And while his foreknowledge does not impede our freedom to go ahead and make bad decisions, it does enable him to take these into account as he turns even these to his salvific purposes. You know, they say that God is able to write straight with crooked lines. And what is the method he employs? What is the basis of his plan? Well, it's a very demanding method, and yet it is the only effective means available to free us from the tyranny of sin and death. His plan is self-sacrificing love. His plan is death to self. Jesus modeled that for us himself, dying on the cross for us. And he asked us to conform ourselves to that very same plan with death to self ourselves. On Calvary, Jesus reveals to us the mystery of attaining life through dying for others. Jesus never promised his followers that by following him they would avoid suffering. He only promised that if we embrace the cross, whatever crosses come our way, with sacrificial love, suffering, death, negative things will not have the last word, just like they did not have the last word on Good Friday. Love, which is God's very own nature, seeks to elicit a response of self-sacrificing love from us. Though all-powerful, though God could make anything happen he wants, he doesn't force our response. He leaves our easily misused free will intact. Because for our response to be a response of love, it must be a freely given response. Indeed, it would not be love otherwise. And we see this in our readings today. In our first reading from Acts of the Apostles, not only do we see Paul and Barnabas suffering threats and verbal abuse, we see how this painful experience ended up serving God's purposes, fit into his plan, because it led them to begin to preach the good news also to the Gentiles. First, they had been preaching only to one nation. Because that one door was closed, another door opened, and they began to preach to all the nations. In our second reading from Revelation, we see that this wider audience that the apostles had gone to preach to has responded and has found life through dying. Through dying to self, through martyrdom also. It says, a great multitude which no one can count from every nation, race, people, and tongue, all the nations of the world, have found life through dying. These are the ones, it says, who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then in our gospel today, Jesus reassures us that regardless of the adversities we face, no one can take us out of Jesus' hands against our will. We're his sheep after all. We're his flock. We know him. We follow him. He knows us. He's there for us to guide us. So no matter what may happen to us from the outside, no matter what wolves there may be out there threatening the flock, we will not perish because through him we have eternal life. Now this is a powerful message of encouragement for us. Suffering is not just a negative part of the human condition. It is also, or the Lord is able to turn it into a positive part of his plan. Had Paul not suffered rejection, we Gentiles may never have heard, much less embraced, the good news of salvation. So also today, the troubles we face and the crosses we embrace with sacrificial love can lead, paradoxically, as many cancer survivors, for instance, can attest, can lead to greater life in God's plan for ourselves and for others than would have ever been possible had we not gone through that difficult time.